the purpose of continuing forward to discuss some of the recommendations that will be made when we have the full committee to continue on with our work session on Senate Bill 5530, the Oregon Liquor Control Commission's bill. This is the General Government Subcommittee of Ways and Means. Legislative Fiscal Office is represented by Susie Jordan, and Karen Segrist is our clerk today. We ended up on page page three, with budget note three, and there's a recommendation which will be made in number six on page four, which will address the performance measures. We have since received additional information on the performance measures, and each one of us should now have basically updated performance measures for the OLCC. I'm wondering if we could have just a brief discussion regarding any of the concerns that we may have. I had a concern on number three as to why it was not available, as to why the overall scores of outstanding had not been recorded in 2001, if that wasn't available, or just what the situation was there. Maybe we could have Karen or someone from the department just let us know what the status is there.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, I'm Karen Gregory, Interim Director for the Oregon Liquor Control Commission. Good morning. In response to your question, these performance measures were put together many months ago, and at that time we had not completed the 2001 performance appraisals for the liquor agents.
Have those performance measures been completed, those performance?
Mr. Chairman, they have. I do not have any numbers on those, however.
I don't have them.
We could bring those back to you.
Okay. And actually, those receiving the 30% or a score of overall outstanding at 30%, is that where do the majority of the agents score at if they're scoring only 30% outstanding?
Mr. Chairman, as part of our evaluation process, in order to get an outstanding, liquor agents need to have a certain amount of their inventory goal met in order to get an outstanding, and they also need to receive an outstanding in store appearance. So in order to get an outstanding, two of those criteria must be outstanding along with other criteria. So 30% is a pretty good hit for the agents, a pretty good goal to be setting. We have had other years where we didn't have both of those criteria needing to be outstanding in order to get an overall outstanding, and we've had much over 30%.
Senator Winters?
A couple questions. If in order to receive an outstanding score, included in that is not only the sales but also the store and its environment, which means that I'm assuming that one has to invest in inside the store in order to upgrade that environment. And we talked last week about the compensation, and I guess, and in some of the conversation that has been coming to this body from the agents, is that the margin is getting smaller and smaller. So the question in my mind, how do you then increase the outstanding if there is this barrier that says I don't have dollars to invest?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Winters, in regard to store appearance, what we require for an outstanding are shelves that have been dusted, new paint in the store, carpeting that doesn't have holes in it that are safety issues. Basically, these are items that don't take a tremendous amount of money, but actually take a lot of work with liquor agents as opposed to investing money necessarily.
Well,
I guess I beg to having owned the business. When you talk about carpet repairs and some of the other, and you're talking about staffing, taking time to do the cleanup. I mean, that's the painting and all that. That really still is an investment. And I guess my question is, if those are the requirements to reach outstanding and the compensation isn't there, I think that that's a barrier to getting to where you want to go to have more than 30%. Because when I look here that your 05 target is 30%, that's very, in my estimation, that's low. But I can see if you are saying, well, we recognize it's low because we're not giving you the compensation that you need in order to make it higher.
Perhaps Senator Winters, the question then could be rephrased, and that is, do you anticipate that the percentage would be greater, that our target would be greater, if they had the resources in order to meet their obligations to paint, to put new floor furnishings down, or floor coverings down, those kinds of things? Karen, respond to that.
Mr. Chairman, so what I understood you to say is that maybe that percentage should be lower than 30%?
Well, I'm not knowing what your actual value for 2001 is, given the fact that it is a low 30% that meet both the sales and the appearance criteria, would the sales and the appearance criteria be more likely to be attained at receiving a 9 or 9.25% depending upon where we can arrive at a commission rate to the commission agents?
Mr. Chairman, I think it's clear that when you have more compensation, you'll certainly have stores that will raise their level of store appearance. Certainly, liquor agents will probably invest more in their stores. They will get new shelving. They'll probably put down new carpeting rather than repairing it and that kind of thing.
Representative Patrick?
Well, if they're done with this line of question, I have a question on another performance.
No, I'm
okay.
Just one question.
I'm sorry, Senator.
Since we don't have the current figures of, then how did you make the 30% assumption?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Winters, first of all, for 2001, the criteria was not the same. In order for agents to get an outstanding for 2001, they only had to have an outstanding in four categories, including inventory. So it was a lot higher bar to reach to get to the outstanding. We have tightened that up, and that 30% is actually a much more difficult number for them to achieve for 2005. So the way that we got that number for 2005, we looked at the number of agents who had outstanding just in inventory, and we basically pared that down because we understand that it's difficult to get the outstanding in both areas rather than just one.
Mr. Chair, I really would like follow up. I really would like to have the criteria that's used in the past and also the new criteria and what were the outcomes of the old standards.
I guess in keeping with the overall discussion of making alcohol available to legal users through quality customer control, I also wonder about the value of the key performance there as it relates to liquor by the drink and dispensing locations as well. And that's not measured in any way here, as I understand. Is that correct, Karen?
No.
And Server?
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. I'm not sure. We don't measure anything about any performance measures about the full on-premise licensees or any service towards them. I'm not sure how we even could.
The quality customer service, I guess you don't control any quality customer service at any server location.
Not actually on-premise, sir.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry, for the record.
Right, I'm sorry. Alex Lennox with the Liquor Commission.
Thank you. Ultimately. Yes, let's move now, and as much as we have a full component of the Senate and two members of the House, I'll go ahead and open a work session then on Senate Bill 5530 for the Oregon Liquor Control Commission. Representative Patrick is recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We're continuing our discussion, I think, on the performance measures. I guess I'm a little troubled that your goal number two, the percentage of licensees who refuse to sell to minor decoys, in 2001, you're over your benchmark, and I'm wondering how the commission arrived at a fact that 30%, I mean, that seems awfully high, that 30%, only 30% sell, you know, and if we're trying to really make this a goal in Oregon and what we're doing, it seems like we're setting the benchmark awfully low to be saying that 30% of sales to minor decoys actually result in an actual purchase, which is what it appears from this.
Particularly when that's going downhill from what our actual experience is right now. Are you resetting those values, Karen?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Patridge, what we did here, and Alex can certainly add to this, but we took a look at not only what we've done in Oregon, we've taken a look at national averages as well, and what we discovered is that if you have a large enough group of staff that you can do minor decoys two or three times a year, you can get that number down. But if you only have the 30 or 35 folks that we have that can do minor decoys throughout the state, and you therefore can only do maybe once a year throughout the state, you're not going to get much better than 30%. So that's where we came up with this percentage.
I guess I go back to my question relative to that. If it's at 71.6%, why wouldn't we anticipate that that should at least be a target for this 2005?
Mr. Chair, part of the issue, too, is the numbers that go into that 71%. The number of minor decoy attempts, purchase attempts, has actually declined over time. Partly because of significant staffing turnover in the unit that does the minor decoys, and then very significant turnover in that unit, and the fact that we don't have the ability to do decoy operations throughout the state continuously. At one time we did about 800, then it's dropped off, and now it's starting to pick back up. As we move the decoy operations outside of the metropolitan area and into rural areas, the percentage of licensees who refuse to sell actually declines as you go into rural areas that have not experienced decoy operations. Fewer and fewer of them will refuse the sale. They'll actually go ahead and do it because nobody's ever bothered to enforce the law in those areas. We don't have staff out there, and local law enforcement finds it a low priority. So that's been a continuing problem that we're discovering as we move decoy operations out into rural areas.
Do we have a difference between then rural and metropolitan percentage reporting?
Mr. Chair, there probably is. We haven't run the numbers recently, but we actually are doing relatively few decoy operations in the metropolitan areas now.
Well, for those of us who represent rural areas, I find it a little bit distressing that we're not giving it a higher priority, but that's probably a local law enforcement issue as well. But my angst for that is that we get the proper amount of public safety dollars out on the streets to try and benefit those folks. With that, further questions?
Just a comment.
Representative Patrick?
I guess that's part of the frustration with the benchmarks and high-level outcomes is, are they what we'd like to do, what we can do, what our goals are, it's a difficult thing, and I don't know if we ever really address that. If this is what they realistically think they can do, that's one thing. But I think it's clear from the commission they'd like to do, with more resources and more time, they'd like to be able to knock those figures down so that they're lower. Is that correct?
Patrick, they do share the concern that this still means that, it's like when we say that 70% are in attendance, where are the other 30%? When we're talking about 70% are successful, then that means that 3 out of every 10 sales attempted purchase by a minor is successful. And that's a somewhat disconcerting figure. So thank you very much.
Can I ask a question?
Senator, please.
Does your data tell you in areas where you may have a higher concentration? You mentioned rural communities, and if you're going to deploy staff, that you would deploy them where you think that the need is greatest. Does your data suggest where you should be having staff to do the decoys? Can you get enough trend line information from it?
Well, Mr. Chair, Senator Winters, I'm not sure. We haven't really done that analysis to use decoy operations to determine staffing. Certainly where the majority of the licensees are is where we have our staff, in large part to serve them. In rural areas, there are relatively few, very few licensees, and when you've got a very high sale rate, it's actually a law enforcement problem, a compliance problem for us, but it's truly a law enforcement problem as well. to, because community law enforcement agencies are empowered to enforce these laws as well. So, and they do in Portland, they just don't happen to do it elsewhere.
Maybe I'll put it another way. You know, we tend to do concentrations when we do an analysis of data that suggests that maybe perhaps either you do circuit rider or some education or something in those communities in order to get to change the stats. And I just wondered if, you know, you had taken a look at looking at the statistics, and if it's a higher concentration in the rural areas, something that you can do to lower them, rather than just saying, you know, we just don't have the resources to deal with them.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Winters, one of the things we do is when we go out and do a decoy operation in rural areas, we have discovered this, as Alex has mentioned, that our rates are higher. We will typically go out and redo that in another 6 months. That's something we don't do in our metropolitan area. So, yes, we do what we can as far as getting out and educating folks. And we've discovered that, you know, you can keep chunking down on the sale rate if you do that. It's just staff intensive.
Sounds like we need to spend the appropriate resources in rural Oregon, but it sounds like you're going back if you've got some experience there. And that always serves as a great reminder to those of us in rural Oregon that there is a Salem out there that's holding a fairly good-sized sledgehammer. So further discussion relative, that's really, these have been relative to item number six, recommendation number six on page four. And with that, I think we're ready to go back to page three, item number three. Ms. Gordon?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Budget note number three, I beg your pardon.
Budget note number three is if the Oregon Liquor Control Commission elects to pursue implementation of modernizing retail electronic reporting system, the commission shall provide a report on the details of the system to the Joint Legislative Committee on Information Management and Technology for approval. The report shall include a clear statement of the retail system requirements, a comprehensive work plan, and cost-benefit analysis of the project. Once approved by the Interim Joint Legislative Committee on Information Management and Technology, the agency may seek expenditure authority from the Emergency Board. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, this budget note is the same budget note that was in the agency's budget in the last biennium that was tied to an increase in the price of alcohol to provide some resource for the agency to assist agents in updating their information systems to talk to the main system at OLCC. And the repeating of this budget note reinforces the need to seek legislative approval of the system and the cost to the agents to the agency.
Any discussion or questions regarding budget note number three? I'm under item number three on page three. Ms. Jordan, I think that you're prepared to hold off on number five on page four. We have discussed number six. Number seven deals with the ending balance. Do you want to discuss number seven?
Thank you. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, in this agency and other funds, ending balance is really technically zero because all of their other funds then convert to the general fund at the end of the biennium. So there is no ending balance.
Okay. Representative Patrick is recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If you're ready for motions, I'd be happy to make those for you.
On page one.
Page one of the LFO recommendation on the memo of June 2nd, 2003, I would move the technical adjustments to reduce the budget total of $844,801.
You've heard the legislative fiscal recommendation and the motion. Are there any objections to moving LFO recommendation number one relative to the technical changes and the amount of reduction of $844,801? Hearing and seeing none, so on. Representative Patrick?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd move on page number two of the same memo. Under the vacancy savings, I would move the vacancy savings of or vacant position changes, approve the elimination of vacant position 1500027 for savings of $96,050.
You've heard the legislative fiscal recommendation and the motion. Are there any objections to this motion? Hearing and seeing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chair, I'd move the budget note number one.
Any objections to budget note number one? And just to note that that has been modified since the original printing to remove position 4700521 from the from that budget note. Are there any objections? Hearing and seeing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chair, I move policy package number 91, 206, and 006 in block together, if that's appropriate.
You heard the recommendation from Legislative Fiscal Office relative to policy option packages 091, 206, and 006. Are there any objections to moving those in block? Are there any objections to moving those each of those individual policy option packages? Hearing and seeing no objection, we'll order those three back.
Mr. Chair, it's my understanding that the Chair would like to skip budget note number two at this point in time, and we'll go back and look at that because we're not sending out the budget today, so I would move the adoption of budget note number three, which was just described by Ms. Jordan.
You've heard the Legislative Fiscal Office recommendation and the motion now to go ahead and pass budget note three. Are there any objections? Budget note three dealing with the information technology and the report of a clear and concise statement relative to the retail system, comprehensive work plan, and cost benefits analysis. Any objection? Hearing and seeing none, we'll order budget note three. Representative Patrick?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, we had discussion of the performance measures this morning. Well, I have some angst. I will move the I will take the LFO recommendation in regards to the performance measures. I move item number six.
We've heard the recommendation, had the discussion this morning. Any objections to moving item number six on page four? Hearing and seeing no objections, so ordered. And Representative Patrick, number seven.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think just for review purposes, we have to approve that we've looked at item number seven, which was the other funds, or which was the ending fund balance. So I would move that we have reviewed item number seven.
You've heard the recommendation of the Legislative Fiscal Office, and the review now is being made of item number seven. Any objections to the review and the scope of the work we've done on item number seven? Hearing and seeing none, we will go ahead and accept that as having been reviewed. That leaves budget note number two and recommendation number five relative to Senate Bill 5530 still pending. With that, if there are no objections, we'll go ahead and close till further date. We are a one hour posting, I believe, still. We will close until further date the further consideration of Senate Bill 5530. Thank you very much for your input. With that, we will close.